Let's talk about Game Time tickets, people. We've been talking about it, actually, for months here on the Rich Eisen Show and our Rich Eisen podcasts. But guess what? There's something new to tell you about Game Time. There's a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. Yet another way that Game Time makes things easier for you when you're looking for tickets to anything in your area. With the new Game Time Picks, it's curation easier to save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with the all-in pricing feature, which is my favorite, you get to see the total up front, so there's no surprise fees at Game Time checkout. And with Game Time, you always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time's going to credit you 110% of the difference. Plus, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying concert tickets in particular with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there, and keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at USPS.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
How you like that?
This
is the way you get done.
Is the Rich Eisen Show.
I'll be honest, I may be just a little biased here because I do love Doug Peterson.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'm nervous for him because when an owner says we have the best team we've ever had and it's time to win, this is the way you get got in the NFL.
Earlier on the show, host of The Right Time with Bomani Jones. Bomani Jones. Coming up, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman, actor Jonathan Davis. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two, the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great time with Bomani Jones and Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports and The Athletic making his way into the studio. So much going on in the world of college football, especially at UNLV, where the transfer in quarterback, Matthew Sluka, going 3-0 for UNLV, has now told them he's done playing there. And we're wondering if it was because he asked for more money or his dad was saying at ESPN they didn't give him the money he was promised when he transferred from Holy Cross. And Bruce, I can't wait to chat with him. Oh, by the way, Alabama plays Georgia this weekend. Whoa. So there's that.
I'm just glad you're finally happy about that.
Why?
Well, you've claimed for years that they don't play each other.
Well, that's they don't true. Play every year.
They do play every year.
Well, no, they play every year only because
in the SEC championship,
the SEC championship game is where they will, meet. But you know, that doesn't have to be that way. I mean, Michigan plays Ohio State every year, Michigan State every year, normally Penn State every year. I don't think we play each other this year.
Not a Big Ten.
I mean, but now Big Ten's got four more teams in it. And Michigan plays three of the four new teams. You know who doesn't? Everybody else. But that's okay. That's okay. Michigan USC had the biggest ratings of the week. You know, so CBS getting its money's worth right off the bat of having a Big Ten contract.
Yep.
So, but thanks for allowing me to pound the table for why my institution of higher football learning always plays its rival every year, and you don't. So
I don't.
Oh, no, no.
That has
I'm
nothing
sorry.
To do with
no,
me.
No, 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 no. I got it. The team for which you root does not have to play its best opponent every year.
I wouldn't even say that I root for them. I want them to do well.
Okay.
Every week.
It's good for the
because it's a happy household.
It's good for the house.
Got it.
Rich, it's good for the property value.
Good for the property value.
Happy life.
It's good.
Hey, Rich, by the way, real quick, we spoke with Bomani earlier. Redhead quarterbacks, Sammy Baugh, Jeff Garcia, Sonny Jurgensen, Brad Johnson, Carson and Jordan Palmer.
Oh, yeah, Palmer.
Billy Joe Tolliver, Andy Dalton, Greg McElroy, Brandon Whedon, and Todd Marinovich.
Are that really all redheads for real? Like,
yeah.
We're
okay. Yeah, I think
so. Kate McNown as well.
Good
another
to know.
Redhead QB.
Let's go to Matt in Oklahoma. First up. Matt, you got to be psyched, brother.
Yeah, all hail Queen Barbara, first off. I tell you what, I have a bucket list, and that's up. I want to go to a Super Bowl with Barbara next to her at a Bill Super Bowl. That would be cool, man. She's my new hero. I've showed everybody in town. I made the principal at my son's school watch it yesterday.
Did you really? That's so great, man. And again, I obviously knew right off the bat that she was a diehard Bills fan.
Yeah, she's a bit surly, but we get along real well.
But when she referred to Aaron Rodgers as that little guy who went to the New Jersey Jets. That's,
I refer to him as something else, but it's not PG, so we won't say that.
That is it, man. That was a Bills fan calling him the New Jersey Jets.
I tell you what.
Oh, gosh.
I woke my wife in the middle of the night last night because I guess I was having a dream or nightmare, and I yelled, damn kicker. So I must have been thinking about it, and she goes, she also said I talk in my sleep. She said, you were saying poor Jim a lot, too.
Nice.
So I love it.
I love that you watched Barbara, but you got to be psyched with what you're seeing from the Bills, Matt.
I'm surprised. I'm happy. I'm not going to drink the Kool-Aid yet, but I don't know what's going on. It feels different.
It feels different because the expectation level's not there.
Well, there's no Diggs anymore. That's the big deal. He just throws to who's open. He's having fun. He's not dealing with a crybaby on the sidelines.
Yeah, I don't know if I can buy into that. You really want to pin it all on Diggs? Is that?
No, I love Stephon Diggs when he was there. I loved him. I wish he would have stayed. But it got to the point where he was every week it was, Stephon Diggs is mad about this. Stephon Diggs is mad about that. He was constantly mad about something. I'm like, dude, just play football. You make a lot of money to play football. Just be happy.
Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate you showing the video of Barbara to everybody there. That's Matt in Oklahoma.
Rich.
Who's been a Bills fan calling in since jump. You know, I think right for all 10 years.
He had a point. You know that sound we played of Josh yesterday talking about, you know, his receivers might not get the ball as much as they want and they might only get it a couple times, but when they do get it, it's going to give them a chance to score. You could kind of tell. He was low-key. I kind of think, you know, he was he was talking about Diggs without bringing up Diggs.
Let me just explain this, too. I understand why you would say that and why others are going to read into that. And you know, but the defense is balling out. That has nothing to do with Diggs. And you can't sit here and say, well, they lost Poyer and they lost, you know, all their, you know, Milano being out is not a good thing. You know what I mean? But I understand why everybody is seeing the subtraction of Diggs is additive in this respect. Marshall Faulk, who I take my cue from 100 times out of 100, and again,
he knows his stuff.
He does, and he's on the latest What the Football with Susie and Amy, and he always thinks about something I don't think about, or most, you know, football humans don't think about. When Calvin Johnson retired in 2015, he went on Game Day Morning and said this could be a positive for Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
And that was like a needle ripping off the record in the studio.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I wish I had a snapshot of Irv's face. And everybody looked at him like, what are you talking about? And he's just like, when you've got a number one receiver like that, the quarterback wakes up essentially and goes into the huddle the same way, thinking about how do I get the ball to Calvin Johnson? How do I get the ball to this guy? Because he's my best playmaker, and plus I don't want to hear it. Not saying that Calvin would, you know, Calvin was.
He seemed more of the quiet.
But all
type,
receivers, again, all receivers want the football. Mm-hmm. All receivers, in the same way I want the microphone. The difference between that is that I'm close to the microphone. The receivers, I think they're always verbose. They're always some of the loudest on the field because they're dependent on getting the football, mm-hmm. on somebody else's decision making, whether it's the coaching staff or it's the quarterback. Or it's the running back doing the proper protection so I can get open and get the football. It's just they're dependent on so many different other pieces, the offensive line. And they're also literally spatially the furthest from the football. Mm-hmm. I'm serious. Like, so put it all together, that's where I think you can make the case where it potentially is additive for Diggs being gone. if that was the dynamic of their relationship. And when that's removed, now it's just like, okay, I'm just throwing it to whoever's open. I'm just throwing it to whoever, which may have been the case when Diggs was there too. You know, it's not, I don't know if Allen has changed his approach in that respect or not. And we could read all we want into it. But every single time I hear this conversation about a quarterback and a receiver that was there, that's not there anymore, and we're questioning about their relationship, which nobody ever did between Stafford and Johnson, obviously. But I do remember Marshall saying that in 2015, this could be better for Stafford.
It makes
sense. And everyone's like, huh? Really? You know, it turned out to be better for Stafford was to move to Los Angeles.
Well, that
same thing for me too, by the way. I had no idea.
Me three.
Okay, all of us, right?
I think everyone in this room shares that sentiment.
Guys, it's a Wednesday.
Oh,
you know what that means?
Come on now.
It's time, and this is these power rankings.
Oh, man,
trying to figure out, like,
a drink of water.
I mean, from week to week, I think I've done a good job so far because I'm, like, you know, patting myself on the back. That said, it's just 1 week you're on the list, next week you're off the list, and I think it's worthy. I'm trying to figure out who should stay on the list because I still believe in him. I'm not ready to pop him off my list of my top 10, but that's my long-winded way of saying these are my rankings. Nobody else has them, and okay. Everyone should back off. Thank you. Hit it. Power rankings. All right, here we go, Mike Del Tufo. Thank you, sir. I feel better when I hear this.
You like
it gets me in the mood. My power rankings begins with a team that's still on the list despite having lost, dropping 7 spots. All they had to do was just stop Saquon and Dallas Goedert for ripping off 60-yard gains, and they would have won this game. They'd be 3-0, and we'd be talking about how the Saints can win 1 week and then the next week by putting up 40 points, and then they can win the next week by being great defensive football players, and they could play in all phases. So I'm putting the Saints number 10 on my list right here of power rankings. Hey. The New Orleans Saints are down 7 spots, number 10. Number 9, new on the list. I'm putting them back on the list. I'm putting the New York Jets here at 9. They've won 2 in a row.
Seems a little low,
actually. Are getting better. Well, I'm still, again, dude, you want to talk about that? You want to play the who have they really beaten game? You know, the 0-3, Will Levis is giving everybody a football, Titans. And then the Patriots on a short week when they didn't have their left side of their line. And they, you know, like, I mean, they're ripe for the plucking. But the Jets did the plucking, which is
plot twist.
It's what we call a wrinkle to previous years.
True.
And just seeing Aaron Rodgers being the adult quarterback in the huddle, under center, in shotgun, knowing what to do and go with the football and putting it where it needs to be and looking spry. And then the defense has begun to do what Robert Saleh said in the post-game comments in San Francisco after they lost week one, saying we'll get it right. And so I'm putting them at 9 on the list. Number 8 on the list, I got to put also a 3-0 team above them. I think I'm putting the Seahawks here. They're still in the category of the who have they really beaten? But
wow,
you got to take a team that's 3-0 and have not given up 150 yards passing to each of their opponents. I understand it was Bo Nix in his first game, and then Jacoby Brissett in his home opener, and then Skylar Thompson, and then that knocked him out, and it was Tim Boyle, and they literally, you know, figuratively, when a defense performs like that, they say that we're making the quarterback show his ass. They literally did that this time, and I think everybody saw that photograph from week 3. And maybe you guys have not, but that was all over my timeline. The Seattle Seahawks and Geno Smith at 3-0, they're number 8. Number 7 on my list, no change. I'm keeping the Philadelphia Eagles right where they were. And they're kind of a shrug emoji in a way. Like, are they going to continue to play a mistake-filled football and have to overcome them in a way that they could not at the end of last year, you know? Or is Saquon just going to be the guy who saves the bacon every day? Or can they get A.J. Brown back and Jalen Hurts can play more like he did in the first 3 quarters of week two against Atlanta? But I'm keeping them there at 7. New on the list, my last new team on the list, Number six, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm popping them here. And I think that if the Steelers played the Eagles right now, I think they'd beat them. And I think if the Eagles play, if the Steelers played, you know, the Seahawks, potentially the Jets, they've got the Jets coming up soon. I think the way that the Steelers are playing defense right now, anybody would have a tough time moving the ball on them. And Justin Fields gets better every week. Boy, if he just comes up with a game similar to what, like, Jaden Daniels did against an AFC North team, then we would change our tune a lot more about the Steelers. But they're still number six. Number five on the list, up three spots, I'm putting the Lions here. I still think they're one of the best in the NFC. And I know everybody thinks that they're not as good as last year through what we've seen through the first 12 quarters of their season, or 12 and a half quarters, because they won week one in overtime because they just jammed it down the throats of the Rams. It was the David Montgomery show there. I like them, man. I really like the way the Lions have played. That's not an easy place to win in Arizona. And then we'll see what happens when the fifth team on this list play the eighth team on this list on Monday Night Football. It's going to be fun with the Lions and the Seahawks. Number four on the list, they're down two spots because they got punked. I'm going to take that tape and bury it. I still feel like the Texans are insanely talented and are a top four, a final four team in this league this year, or at least have a team that can be. So I'm keeping the Texans in my top five, but they're on the cusp of dropping out of it. We'll see what happens when they take on the desperate Jaguars. But they're down two spots, four on the list. Up seven spots, three on the list are the Minnesota Vikings. Clearly, I got to put the Vikings over the Texans. And the way they're playing football, they are lights out, man. And Sam Darnold is spreading it around. They didn't even have Jordan Addison, and they pop 30 on the Texans. I love what Aaron Jones is doing. It's going to be a great return to Lambeau Field to watch him in that game. They're three on the list, number two on the list, and number one on the list. You know how I feel about the Kansas City Chiefs and how they're two-time defending Super Bowl champs. And as long as they keep winning, they're number one on my list. But the way the Bills played this week, I have to sit here and think they take on the Chiefs, they beat them. So I'm dropping the Chiefs down one spot.
Whoa.
I'm dropping them down one spot to be number two. And I know
incoming text message.
I'll take it. I'll take it. I mean, there's still
good for you.
They're still the second best team on my list
good
here,
for
man.
You.
But they have a little bit of flaws. And not saying the Bills don't, but right now, the way the Bills are playing, what the Bills are doing, what
Bills,
Josh Allen looks like,
Bills look great, man.
And how he's spreading the ball around, and defensively, Von Miller looks as spry as ever. I mean, he had the final nail in the coffin the other night for the Jaguars. I shouldn't say that. Coffin was kind of nailed shut for a half, but he still, in the game, ended it. I'm putting the Bills atop my list, up four spots. They are number one on my power rankings list. So, Bills, Chiefs, Vikings, Texans, Lions, like Steelers, it. Eagles, Seahawks, Jets, Saints, Jets, Seahawks, Steelers, new to the list, off the list. Buccaneers went from four out, Niners went from six out, and the Cowboys are off the list, nine out. I thought to myself, do I keep the Bucs on the list? But then does that mean, who do I take off? I can't take a 3-0 team off. I can't take a team that just won to go 2-1 off.
Could have had the Eagles off, I guess.
I still think that they're... I mean, we'll find out this week. They play each other, right?
Yeah.
We'll see if I'm right or wrong. Eagles are in Tampa. Whew.
Tough look, though. I mean, you got the number one seed in the AFC right now. You have sixth. That's tough.
Number one seed in the AFC, I have sixth. Okay.
Steelers are number one
you
in
think,
the AFC.
You think... Hold on a minute. The Bills play the Steelers right now. Who wins? Who would you take?
All I'm saying is the Steelers win the tiebreaker over Buffalo and Kansas City based on strength of victory. If the playoffs started today, Steelers get the bye.
Okay. As you know, I use many metrics for my power rankings. I crunch numbers. I crunch numbers.
Rich, you've never shared your model with us. Yeah, so I don't know how.
Sure. We don't know what your model is.
I think Mike Tomlin sums it up sums it up best when it comes to this subject matter here, okay? You understand that?
Describes how you feel about
Mike, play the drop, Mike.
I can't give you all the ingredients to the hot dog. You might not like
it. Okay.
You might not like it. But I'll just say this. Strength of victory ain't it. Let me ask you this question.
Just saying.
If the Steelers played the Chiefs this week, you take who? In Pittsburgh. I'll even give them a home game.
Oh, Steelers in Pittsburgh? Oh, yeah, I'm going to take
the Steelers.
You take
the Steelers over the Chiefs?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Home game.
Okay.
Home game, though, in Pittsburgh.
Okay, the Bills go to Pittsburgh.
I want to stay consistent.
Texans go to Pittsburgh. Who do you take?
I'm going to take Pittsburgh.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
All right.
I think their defense is better than anyone else's offense.
I think you made a great point yesterday by asking the Steelers' defense operating on that side of the ball better than any offense in all 32 teams are operating on that side of the ball. And I said yes. Then I saw the Bills play.
The Bills' offense looks really good.
They sure do.
Washington's offense looked really good.
Oh, my God, they sure did, too. Steelers defense is outstanding. That's why they're on this list for sure at being 3-0.
Yeah, just the one seed.
Okay. Let's take a break. Bruce Feldman coming on out from Fox Sports and The Athletic. Seems like he was here just yesterday, didn't it?
Right? Seriously.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As your kids get older, some things about parenting gets easier and others do not. Like having that conversation about money and keeping track of it and making sure they understand that money just doesn't grow on trees and don't take it for granted. The fact is, kids won't really know how to manage their money until they're actually in charge of it. And that's where Greenlight can help. Greenlight's a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on kids' spending and saving while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun, accessible way. And then they can also learn about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. My family uses it for my oldest son. You should do it too. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/rich. That's greenlight.com/rich to try Greenlight for free. greenlight.com/rich. Hey, everybody, you know we're living in a new age of football with the expanded college football playoff, NIL, conference realignment, and increasing popularity of the draft. The landscape is changing, and it's changing quickly, and it can be confusing, but you know you're still into it. That's where the new podcast, The Triple Option, comes in. Each week, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, host Rob Stone, and three-time national champion coach Urban Meyer team up to bring on the biggest guests in college football, pro football, and anything related to the culture of the game. They cover it all, from top stories to recent changes and shifts in the game, the culture surrounding it, and everything in between. So get in the game today. Follow and subscribe to The Triple Option on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Triple Option on YouTube as well. New episodes drop Wednesday mornings. Say goodbye to complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping, and say hello to an advantage with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Every business faces challenges, but shipping shouldn't be one of them. So keep things simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges for Saturday deliveries, residential deliveries, or fuel. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there, helping you counter the rising costs of doing business with a budget-friendly alternative. And keep things reliable with on-time ground shipping, ensuring your shipments get to where they need to go while maintaining your hard-earned reputation. USPS Ground Advantage is your ticket to easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. It's the complete delivery service your business needs to rise above the competition. There's never been a better time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable. Everybody, Bruce Feldman's here, everybody. There he is. That's proof. I'm not a liar. Where are you heading this week?
I'm in studio, and I'm very excited about that.
You're a Ford holder.
Yeah, so
that's great.
We have a lot of good games on our air. My colleagues at Big Noon are heading down to Orlando for UCF Colorado, which should be an interesting game matchup.
Oh, they've had enough of Michigan, is what you're saying? The brown jug? Brown jug's not enough to smoke you guys out back
there. I think Joel Klatt will be going for that game.
Yeah, that's the Big Noon game. Yeah.
We are going to be in Orlando. It's first time for Big Noon in the state of Florida. That'll be good.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I mean,
UCF is rolling right now. They got a really good run game. It should be fun. I'm excited. I get to work with my buddy Chris Peterson and Mike Hill, spend the day in there.
Yeah, great. Yeah, in studio.
Yes.
Well, this is great. You want to get on a plane. It's great. Listen, we work in the toy department. It's awesome. We're lucky to do what we get to do. But any week, but you don't have to get on a plane. You see your kids. All good.
Can't beat it.
Can't beat it. And you want to announce where you're going to be on Sunday?
Yeah, I just found out that the team I used to coach in the Snoop and Hoosh League, which the Chargers really do a great job of helping run, our team won last year. So we're going to be at NFL Network with you guys.
They're
going to
be the demo.
Oh, that's fun.
Team. You know, there's always a flag football team or a young football team that comes by and helps us with our demo. Last week, one of the kids pulled a tooth out.
Yeah, oh, wow.
Whoa. Yeah. During the commercial break.
Whoa.
Mooch is just...
Wow.
Mooch is the best. He coaches these kids up, you know, how to scream tunnels in the end of the break. And he pulls me aside, just slaps me. He goes, one of the kids just lost a tooth. And he's holding it in his hand.
He stuck it in his pocket.
We've definitely had that.
You saw that.
We've definitely had that in games where kids have mouth guards in, and sometimes the mouth guard does the work for them.
That's what, just take it out and the tooth comes out. I love it. Well, I look forward to seeing you there. That'll be great. That'll be on Sunday. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, back on the air, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Bruce Feldman from Fox Sports and The Athletic is here on the Rich Eisen Show. Once again, it is great to see you. What is happening at UNLV, Bruce Feldman?
So
what is
happening? There's actually, it's like the epicenter of the college sports world right now.
And because I've never seen this.
Well, there's two things that are going on. One is related to, and this is the old story because it's been going on for like the last 48 hours, is UNLV is in play for the Pac-12 and also the Mountain West and conference realignment. That's now old news. I mean, it's still going on, but it's really, UNLV is 3-0. Their starting quarterback, Matthew Sluka, had a really good career in FCS at Holy Cross, transferred. More of a running quarterback than a passing quarterback, but again, they're 3-0.
They beat Kansas. They beat Houston, right?
Yeah, two Big 12 wins, you know, pretty handily. And they are sitting there. Yesterday, word starts to circulate that he is going to basically opt out and won't be playing the rest of the season. Now, from what I had heard initially, was that he wanted to take this year as a redshirt, where you're allowed 4 games. And then could get more money someplace else and go on the market for 2025 season. But then this morning, after he puts out a statement, I think a lot of people are going, this kid quit on the team and everything like that. His dad spoke to multiple outlets and said, okay, well, he was supposed to get $100,000. He's not getting anything close to that. Now, let's talk about like whether it was a verbal agreement as opposed to a written contract. And this is where everything gets really murky in the NIL space. And I think we talked about this at some point. I know this
No question we've talked about that.
Like probably like 5 months ago, The Athletic, we did a big story where we talked to agents and players and coaches and everybody involved in the process and collectives. And one of the things one of the players who's now in the NFL had told me was when it comes to money, what's happening a lot, and I'm not saying it's happening in every case, is a player may think they're getting a $1 million deal. It's cryptic in this regard, because this player explained, he was like, yeah, you may have access to a car that's worth $100,000. You don't own it. You have it for like 4 months. You may have access to a $750,000 home, but you don't own it. You know, so it's like the value you think you're getting is $1 million, but it may not be. Now, I'm not saying it's going on in this case with Sluka, but what is interesting is if you or I did a deal and it was a verbal agreement, like, I don't know. Then it's going to be interesting to see what was signed and what wasn't. And I'm not saying that the school is, because again, it's all this third party stuff. You get in this area where it's not supposed to be pay for play, but it actually always is.
You're referring to collectives and things.
I'm referring to how NIL is structured in a lot of ways right now. You know, what the contracts are, who's involved in the negotiations. It's a real, like, very unwieldy setup right now. People want the NCAA to be involved more, but the NCAA is like kind of boxed in right now with a lot of court cases and what judges are ruling.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen before somebody issuing a farewell thank you meme,
right
after three games with a statement that clearly 100% lays out this is over money.
Mm-hmm.
And we can sit here and say kid's quitting on his team, or we can sit here and say kid got robbed. But the one thing that we can definitely say for sure is that there's no piece of paper and there's no way that this could be, I would think, unless these things are signed and filed with some form of an entity that's right. in charge, that short of that, we're going to see stuff like this more often. We're seeing players demanding something, otherwise they're not coming to a school. We're seeing players demand something, otherwise they're leaving school. But we've never seen it three games in from the starting quarterback of a team that has an opportunity to play in the college football playoffs if they keep on winning.
Right.
Never seen that before. And it's really jarring to me, man. I'm not going to lie. And it makes me sit here saying, who's going to be the adult in the room? Is it Sankey? I know Sankey and Petitti already are having conversations and what their working group. We're talking like, we got to get past working groups here, man.
But it's really hard for them to kind of rein this in, because I think you have different jurisdictions. You have different, you know, court cases that are coming up that are kind of boxing them in.
When you're talking about whether players are being paid, the talent fee that Tennessee is putting on its tickets to pay in advance of having to pay all athletes.
Well, you're
right
having
now.
These third-party groups that are involved, and I think that, again, it's different than what happens in the NFL or the NBA or Major League
Can
Baseball.
Can you describe what you're describing as a third-party person who might... somebody out there, you're talking about agents, other...
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely could be agents who get involved in the process. They may not be... Some may not be certified. Many you hear aren't. And then... Like, I know of a specific situation of a very highly ranked recruit who was supposed to get $1 million, got maybe 20% of that last year. Now, from what I told the school's point was, this player didn't live up to their end of the bargain. Now, what does that mean? That they didn't do the things that were mandated in the contract to get that money, or they just weren't that as good as expected on the field?
Is there a contract? Are there contracts?
I think there are contracts. I don't know the specifics on this one, because right now, you know, we've heard from a secondhand account from what we think is the UNLV side initially, and we've also heard now from an agent representing the quarterback and the quarterback's dad.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, you know, I think it's one of those things where everybody's going to look bad in it, you know, at this point.
Yeah, I mean, because the quarterback would rather stand on whatever principle. We don't know what standing he has on and what principle, referring to money, has been offered and paid or anything like that. The father has said it, and there are teammates who might be looking at him saying, where are you going? But that said, if he was promised this money and it is in a contract somewhere, then why, you know, I don't know why the recourse is to leave and say, I'm doing this now before my eligibility is up, and thus going to make myself available
to again.
Highest bidder. So a school would be hiring the kid, because let's call it what it is, right. hiring the kid
mm-hmm.
to play college football for them in 2025. And I would imagine they would have to... make sure that they're honoring their word, although his red shirt would be gone. I mean, how many times can this kid redshirt? Can he just redshirt until he's 40?
I think this would be the last year of eligibility, because I think he was the starter at Holy Cross for 3 years to begin with.
Again, I know a lot of folks might be like, why are we discussing something that involves a school that's not, say, Georgia and Alabama? They're playing each other this week. That's big, and we'll get to that in a second. But this, to me, is the total canary in a coal mine here. Like, if I'm a school administrator, if I'm a coach, if I'm a dad, if I'm an agent, if I'm anybody, I'm a player, I'm going to want some rules. Like, can we get the rules done So if there is a contract, it is filed with some central office somewhere, and that central office now going to handle this dispute, and this doesn't happen, you know?
I think what one of the things that was interesting about this is years ago, I remembered when NIL first started, and it's hard to say years ago because it's not that long ago, but one of the coaches I know is a head coach, and he said, okay, well, we'll be able to get all this documentation on who's paying what and what these budgets are, because they thought it would be something that would be in the spirit of transparency, and it's actually not worked out that way at all. Because somebody, I think it was their compliance person, said, oh yeah, and this is a school with not a huge NIL operation, but it's still a major college program, and was like, oh yeah, this is how this is going to work. And it's not worked that way. I mean, I think towards your point about, like, you know, it's UNLV, it's not, you know, an SEC program or Big Ten program. There's a lot of stories underneath the surface that you hear about, where there's a lot of head scratching things that go on. They just don't get put out there in the major spotlight by the parties involved as this one did. Because I had a conversation with a coach at a big program like a week ago, where he was telling me something about, they had a transfer who was pretty high profile who left, and he was like, this guy I think owes like $70,000 or, you know, in taxes on some of this stuff. And there was a lot of things that were like, I have no idea what's going on with this, you know, because it's like, once the player leaves, it's like they're, because all of this third party stuff, it's very interesting how not just unregulated, but just how unwieldy so much of it is. And I think there's so many stories that are like one degree from getting out there. But they don't usually.
And what are these stories that we're hearing about of players are suing for back NIL? Like, you know,
oh, you mean like Reggie
or, yeah, or Braylon Edwards and I believe Denard Robinson.
Yeah. The Reggie case is super interesting. Well,
what is that about? Like, is it similar to Dan Marino suing the Dolphins, wanting more money because of how much Tua just made? I mean, is that the similar, yeah, standing?
I don't know, because obviously I'm not a lawyer and I'm not familiar with that case. The part to me that's really interesting on Reggie Bush, you know, obviously he was a legendary player at USC. I mean, they just reconciled with him publicly as it relates to the Heisman and the NCAA, and he's suing the school. And I'm like, man, this is really interesting how this like subplot of this relates with Reggie and USC. I don't know how these things are going to play out. Again, like, I don't know if people are getting bad advice from lawyers. I don't know.
Nobody knows anything. You know, nobody knows what the Supreme Court decision is going to actually rule and how, yeah, paying everybody and how that affects all athletic departments. So you might as well hedge your bet and just start putting a talent fee on tickets like Tennessee's doing. And what's going on with UNLV right now? It's nuts, man. But let's take a break, come back, and start. We'll talk about the games that we just saw and what's coming up this week between, obviously, Alabama and Georgia, whatever else is on your radar screen. We've got Bruce Feldman from Fox Sports and The Athletic here on The Rich Eisen Show on a Wednesday. Let's talk about game time tickets, people. We've been talking about it, actually, for months here on The Rich Eisen Show and our Rich Eisen podcasts. But guess what? There's something new to tell you about Game Time. There's a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats, so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. Yet another way that Game Time makes things easier for you when you're looking for tickets to anything in your area. With the new Game Time Picks, it's curation easier to save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with the all-in pricing feature, which is my favorite, you get to see the total up front, so there's no surprise fees at Game Time checkout. And with Game Time, you always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time's going to credit you 110% of the difference. Plus, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying concert tickets, in particular, with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Let's talk DoorDash people. If your family's like mine, it probably is. You want something to eat, your kids want something else to eat. How do you handle it all? How do you make sure everybody's happy? DoorDash. That's how you make sure everybody's happy. The food delivery app is the most awesome on-demand delivery platform that you can go get to make sure that food comes to the places you like right to your table. It's awesome, especially now that football's finally back, which means it's time to order your favorite game day food, snacks, and drinks on DoorDash without missing a single play. And here's how I can help you. Use my promo code, RICHEISEN24, for 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $15 or more dollars on your first order. Limited time offer, terms apply. Promo's not valid for orders containing alcohol. DoorDash, your door to game day greatness, your door to more. Download the DoorDash app now to order your game day favorites and use my promo code RICHEISEN24. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Alcohol available only in select markets.
So you guys don't have unique names.
What do you mean, see, you guys?
What do you mean by that? I'm just saying. There's no one saying, Tom Brady won the Super Bowl, I'm going to name my baby Tom. That's not how it works. Tom is too simple. Shaquille, Alshon, these are unique names that people will name their kids. I promise you. Steve, am I right or wrong?
Steve is not laughing. He's not looking at you, and he is leaning his far.
Steve is a regular name.
Well, that's not
Steve is a regular name.
Steve is the name that folks can pronounce.
Now Steve got another name.
Wow.
Steve, what's your name?
My real name, which is three people call me, my mom and my grandma. And my wife is actually Steve-on.
Now,
S-T-E-V-O-N-N-E.
Now, Steve-on. Steve-on. Stevie. Had you used had you used that name, right? You're the legend you are. Had you used that name, do you know what would have happened? In any city you played in, everybody had a baby with a name, their baby, Steve-on. You know what would happen. You know what's up. I don't care what city you played in. Carolina, Baltimore, whatever city you played in, that city would have had babies with that name.
Santa Monica.
Every time you score a touchdown, they'd be like, I'm naming my baby Steve-on. Well, right? You know, right?
Well, Steve-on, thanks for coming on, Steve-on.
You got it, Rich.
Even mentioning that name right now, a few light bulbs went off. This baby due tomorrow, perfect.
Y'all some dirt bags.
Oh, man, all of our Super Bowls from the past are on our YouTube channel. Game Time Tickets is a great way for you to get tickets to any event in your area, anything, sports, music, comedy, theater, they're great. And you, what you do is you hover over the ticket you want, you see the entire price, all in pricing, so there's no surprise fees at checkout. You can also hover over the seat that you want, and you get to see the actual view from your seat as well. So you can see what the stage looks like from the seat. You can see what the court looks like, the field looks like. It's great. And then there's also the Game Time Picks feature. That's new. Filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats for the event you want to go to. So you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use our code RICH. You get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH, $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. Second segment here with Bruce Feldman on the Rich Eisen Show. Tell me, how about this? I know this is a great way to phrase it. Tell me why Travis Hunter isn't the Heisman Trophy favorite right now.
Because his team is not a top 10 team.
That's simple?
I don't think you can give much of a better rationale beyond that, because right now what he's doing is simply remarkable. The volume of plays, 130, 140 snaps, the volume of big game-changing plays that he makes, often way late in the game when he should have nothing left in the gas tank. It'll be interesting. If they go 6-6, 5-7, I am pretty sure he will still get some first-place votes, assuming he's healthy for the whole year.
Yes.
I don't know if he gets off away from the discussion. Like, does somebody else... you know, what does Carson Beck or Milroe do this weekend on a big stage in a big game?
Yes.
You know, do they take it over? But just, he's such a generational talent that I feel like we don't use that expression. It doesn't fit as much because we've seen a bunch of guys win the Heisman who are really terrific players, but I don't think they're doing something that's so different like he is.
Yeah, 100 yards receiving, game-changing 130
play. Yards receiving, the forced fumble to save the game.
Yeah, right.
It's not the first time that's happened. It's just, you know, it's really, really remarkable. I mean, he was the five-star number one player in the country who has lived up to and exceeded the hype.
Yeah, I mean, it shouldn't matter what the record is for him to at least get a ticket to New York.
Oh, yeah,
I would think so. If he's healthy, we should see him in New York City in December. You know what I'm saying?
Like, oh, yeah, I would think so.
And then hopefully get more votes because, honestly, what he's doing is unicorn stuff. It really is. Game of the week is Georgia and Alabama. Break it down for me. What do you think?
So you obviously have, this is Kalen DeBoer, new coach at Alabama, his first, you know, big game. Like, we had him a couple weeks ago. They played in Madison. They blew out the Badgers. What I'm fascinated with last year, so neither team, by the way, is ranked number one right now. You have Texas is number one, Georgia's number two. But I think last time they met in the SEC title game, Georgia was one, Alabama was eight. Alabama really took over the game in the trenches. Their O-line, which had been a question mark earlier in the year, really stepped up and took it to Georgia. Georgia's banged up on the D-line, but they're still super talented. The last time they played, which is, you know, they had a bye week last week, so the 2 weeks ago, they played at Kentucky. And Kentucky ran the ball, I don't want to say down their throats, but it was like 180 rushing yards. It's not a great Kentucky team. They gave them all they could handle. I suspect we're going to see a really dominant performance by Georgia. I remember there's some quotes that are, you know, lingering after the game last year about that I know that bothered some of the Georgia players. What I'm really excited to see is how Georgia responds, but also this is a first chance for the country to really get a good look at Jalen Milroe in Kalen DeBoer's system. They have really dynamic speed outside at receiver. You know, I think the offensive line is good. I don't know if it's great, but it's good. But Milroe is so explosive, and he does throw a good deep ball. And again, I'm interested to see what Kalen has up his sleeve. He's a really good offense. He's just a great coach. I'm not saying that I think they're going to win going away, but it's that challenge of, you know, Georgia looked terrific against Clemson in the opener, and they did not look very good the last time out. But again, this game was looming. It's not just, you know, Georgia has a loaded schedule. They still have, you know, Ole Miss and Tennessee left and you know, a bunch of other tests. But I can't wait to see what happens in Tuscaloosa Saturday.
Yeah, you and me both. And in terms of you mentioning how neither are number one, you agree Texas should be number one, right?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Right,
you
sure.
know, but like Texas was dominant and has looked really good. Look, if Georgia goes in there, whoever wins this game, if it's a dominant performance, I think probably will overtake them to be number one.
Yeah, I could see that.
This will all work itself out.
Any idea on Ewers' health at this point in time?
Or? I mean, in the beginning of the week, Sark described him as questionable. I think he's going to want to try to play. Again, they're playing Mississippi State, who is really bad this year. Then they have the bye week before Red River. I don't think after, you know, Arch had an up and down game last week against ULM, I still think they have a lot of confidence in Arch, but we all know that Ewers is going to be the guy. It's just a question of, do you worry if he plays in this game against Mississippi State, does he potentially aggravate it and make it worse?
Yeah, certainly with the bye week on the other side. And I mean, Arch is, I mean, he should be able to get them through Mississippi State with all due respect, right?
Toledo smashed Mississippi State.
Right, so give Ewers a week or 2 weeks more.
2 weeks,
and then,
yeah.
And then, but it is, again, it's his gig coming back, right?
Like that's, oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
there's no question about that.
No.
All right. Sorry, TJ, your card is still going to have to be at its current value. He's got an Arch Manning card. He just.
Cards, rich cards.
It'll be multiple, great next multiple. Year. Look, Arch is, like, I think play the futures game with Arch. You know,
well, the Mannings certainly are, right? There's nothing coming from their camp, right? I mean,
no, they're smart. They know better than anybody in the media or whatever, how to play the long game with the development of a young quarterback, right? I mean, I think it's smart. I think it's played out. I'm sure they would have loved for him to go 4 touchdowns, no picks last week, but I think just the reps of playing with it. It's not to say that, you know, if he gets this other game, I think it's a better opponent. It's an interesting environment to go through. I think it's all good. It's like you're playing with the house's money.
I've got Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. Anything else this week that's on your radar you want to point out? Any other games that are of interest to you?
Yeah. The game with Boise State against Washington State, it's a FS1 game. It's late. I'm not just trying to shill for my company, but
keep shilling though. It's okay.
It is like you talked about UNLV as a potential playoff team or, you know, could be coming out of there.
Right.
Washington State, you know, they have a really dynamic quarterback, John Mateer, who's a Texas kid who was under the radar recruit, had no other FBS offers other than Washington State, was committed to Central Arkansas. He is, I'm not saying he's Johnny Manziel, but that's kind of what he reminds me of in terms of, like, just makes a ton of plays with his legs. He's fun to watch. They're a really good team. Boise State has the best running back in the country. Ashton Genty, who's another Texas kid, by the way, ran wild for Boise State so far. This I don't want to say it has a playoff spot on the line, but the winner of this game is going to be in a really good position to get that kind of at-large spot. And if it's Washington State, this to me is Washington State's toughest remaining game. They beat Washington a couple of weeks ago. That was a really good win in the Apple Cup for them. Keep an eye on this game because I think it's going to have – it could have big implications. Again, you're going to see in Genty, you know, maybe as a first-round running back. I mean, we can – talk to our, you know, NFL draft friends who love how versatile he is, and he's going to put up huge numbers. So I think this is an under the radar great game.
Fight for the 12 seed to visit the school that just missed out on the bye week.
Yeah.
That's basically what we're talking about right here. And listen, 12 versus 5 always works well in college basketball for an upset.
It does, right?
You know, and so 12 versus 5, and you let's just say Washington State wins. Why wouldn't you, Big Ten team two happens to be a team that came from the Pac-12?
Penn State,
Oregon. If it's Oregon, like, why wouldn't you want to send Washington State into Oregon and spin that thing up? You know, like, that's, I'm already taking a look down the road about what the committee might do and things of that nature.
I would just say buckle up if you're the defensive coordinator. You gotta play that guy. So
interesting. What's your takeaway from Michigan USC, the most watched game of last week?
You sat there and watched. By the way, like, I don't know what Kalel Mullings' NIL deal is, but he put the program on his back.
He did. He saved the bacon.
And I remember a couple of years ago, we're in Columbus for the big, you know, like that game, and they're banged up. Corum's going to try to go, but he's got very little. Donovan Edwards has like a soft cast on his hand. Yeah. They moved Kalel from linebacker to running back, and he gave him a little. But what he did last week and what he's done this season has been pretty remarkable. I've seen some of your fans, you know, compare him a little to Haskins, who was a punishing runner and definitely brought something a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a 235-pound guy. Not only did he put their program on their back, he put on a USC player on his back, you know, ran down the field, got rid of him, and then made the play of the game. And I thought that was huge. They're so one-dimensional right now. I mean, I still think it's like an 8-4 team, but in some regards, the D-line stepped up. That was kind of what I thought they were going to look like this year, where the D-line was going to get after people, which they did. You know, it's not just the two inside guys. Josiah Stewart, the Coastal Carolina transfer, has been really, really good. Will Johnson made a huge play when they needed it. And if I was a USC fan, I'd be like, you know what? It stings, but like, yes, we're not perfect on defense, but we're much better. Like, they made a lot of good tackles.
There's no question about that. I mean, they're actually making tackles.
Yeah, they are.
And they're excellent.
They are
at not giving up the yards after the catch. At least they were against Michigan. That's for sure. And they made the adjustments coming out of halftime. I mean, the third quarter was a dominant USC quarter. And it was a dominant USC half until Mullings. I did not see the field flipping, game saving, potentially season saving run coming from him at that point in time. That was something. But USC, I mean, they were putting the bang thing on Michigan after halftime.
Yeah, the only issue with USC, they're not great on the D-line, and they're not really good on the O-line. And that got exposed. But if I was a USC fan, my biggest concern now is, man, we got to keep Danton Lynn here. Because
the defensive coordinator,
Anthony Lynn's son, was great last year at UCLA, has been terrific. You know, he has done such a good job. He's so well thought of by people who've been around him. And, you know, look, that's a problem that he's done so well that, you know, maybe somebody tries to hire him as their head coach. You know, maybe somebody in the NFL. I don't know, you know, but I think he's been as good as you could have hoped to be. And we'll see how much better they can be. I think, like, again, USC just needs to upgrade. And I wasn't saying this like it's easy. Needs to upgrade on the O-line. They need to certainly upgrade the D-line. But, you know, Miller Moss had the pick six. But otherwise, I mean, he hung on the pocket, took a beating. He's really good, I think. And they have good receivers. And obviously, Lincoln knows exactly what he's doing offensively. I think there's a lot of encouraging stuff if you're a USC fan. And it was funny because one of the people I know pretty well is you know, works at USC. And we talked about this like in the summer. I was like, you just need to get to games. You know, it was like, because all this other stuff is not helping. It's like conjecture and everything else, how well they're doing in recruiting, what's going on with NIL, all this other stuff. Now the games have happened. And yes, they're not undefeated, but they got a nice win over LSU. They've dominated a team like they should have, you know, which they didn't always before when they, you know, thumped Utah State, and they almost won. And again, I think there's a lot of stuff that they can build off of.
Yeah, I hear you. I fully agree. Enjoy being at home this weekend, and we'll see you next week and see what happens between Georgia and Alabama.
Yeah, can't wait.
Neither can I. That's Bruce Feldman right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. Hour three with the actor Jonathan Davis in studio from Outer Banks. Still here on Roku. Do you want to hit that ACC battle between Central New York and the Bay Area that nobody would ever consider ACC football? It's just weird.
Man, heartbreaking loss for the kids.
To me, when I'm watching it,
we can't tackle anybody.
Well, it looked like you were playing Indiana. It didn't look like Stanford. The uniforms were like, right? So
we can't tackle anyone. Kyle McCord's really good though still.
Yeah, by the way,
two bad picks.
I know he's kind of
he's really good.
Yeah, like he finds the open receiver, he makes the throws. Yeah. You know, I mean, he was
a five-star for a reason.
You know, he was not, you know, going broke, taking the profit. He was doing a lot of that stuff. Yeah. And, you know,
I just think he's a little it's unfortunate because there's such a drop-off from you had C.J. Stroud to whoever. It's his first year as a starter. He is not very elusive, but he throws it well. And obviously he's, you know, I think year two is going to be much better for him. It's unfortunate for him that, like, you know, like we saw Ohio State in person last week. J.J. Smith is phenomenal. And they have they're six or seven deep that are better than almost anybody else's best receiver.
And I got 15 seconds left, so I guess this is just a quick answer. The second best team in the Big Ten is a traditional Big Ten team or somebody that just came from the Pac-12?
I think it's Oregon, but their offensive line still gives me concern.
Okay. And then if not Oregon, it would be Penn State? It would be two?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for coming on here, sir.
That's
Bruce Feldman, everybody. We're back with hour number three and your phone calls. You're on hold. Stay on hold. We'll take them.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt, movie director James Mangold.
I want to turn Bob Dylan into a simple character with a simple thing to unlock that then makes you go, now I get him. First time I sat down with him, he said, what's this movie about, Jim? It's about a guy who's choking to death in Minnesota and reinvents himself in a brand new place, becomes phenomenally successful, starts to choke to death again, and runs away. And he smiled. He was like, I like that.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.